this evening.
Yes.
The house of God should be a holy place, a helpful place, and a happy place.
Amen.
We trust you have a good time in the Lord this evening while that you're here. Once again, I want to read at this time verses 1 through 7 of Revelation chapter 17. Verses 1 through 7 of Revelation chapter 17. Here in this passage, the Word of God says this: "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns." That's reading verses 1 through 7 of Revelation chapter 17. Once again, we'd like to go to the Lord in a word of prayer. I'd like to have each head bowed, each eye closed, if you will, please. We're going to ask the pastor if he'll lead us at this time.
Father, we do thank you again for the word of God that's open tonight. We know that we can rest our souls upon the teaching. Lord, we can know about things of past, things of present, things of future. Lord, we if you have it mapped out, pray that what's been taught and what's going to be taught tonight will be helpful to us. Lord, we learn more about some of the things maybe will be going on about us today concerning this false world church. Bless Brother Wayne as he teaches, fill him with thy spirit. Lord, give him all wisdom and guidance and everything he stands in need of to give instruction tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. At this time, we want to teach the next part of the series entitled The False World Church. The False World Church. In the weeks prior, we have stated that according to the Word of God, the next event, the next prophetic event on God's calendar will be the rapture of the church, or the removal of the saints of God. When the Lord Jesus descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, he is going to take his own out of this world. Now, there are many in the world today that profess Christianity, but many of these do not possess Jesus Christ. Therefore, they are lost. And when the rapture does take place, my friend, these are going to be left behind. I was reading this evening about an old Negro spiritual which said that everybody today that's talking about heaven ain't going there. And that's exactly right. Everybody today that professes Christianity is not a Christian. And when the Lord takes his own out of this world, they will be left behind. They're religious, but they'll be left behind. And my friend, these that's left behind are going to get together. There's going to be a getting together. And we'll find that the Word of God makes it very clear that there's going to be one big world church. And this one world church is going to be headed up under Rome. And this is what is set before us here in Revelation chapter 17. The false world church, or the apostate world church, headed up under Rome. Now, someone may say, preacher, if this involves Rome or the Roman Catholic Church, then why is she called Babylon in verse number 5? She is called Babylon in verse number 5 because Romanism is really just another form of Babylonianism. The religion found in the Roman Catholic Church is actually the religion of Babylon. Now, in the weeks prior, we have went back and dealt with the beginning of Babylon. As is recorded in Genesis chapters 10 and 11, we stated that we were going to trace Babylonianism through the Scriptures till we came back here to Revelation 17. And then we were going to deal with these particular verses. Already in the weeks prior, we have dealt with Babylonianism from the Old Testament Scriptures. We've also dealt concerning this matter with Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And in the weeks prior, we've also begun dealing with this particular chapter, that being Revelation chapter 17. When we begin to deal with this chapter, we stated that this chapter can be looked at as follows. First, in verses 1 through 6, the system is exposed. Second, in verses 7 through 15, the secret is explained. And then third, in verses 16 through 18, the system is extinguished. We also pointed out the fact that the key verse of this chapter is verse number 1. Here in verse number 1, we are told the subject or the theme of this chapter. The subject or the theme of this chapter is the judgment of the great whore. Or in other words, the judgment of this false world church. That's the subject or the theme of this particular chapter. Now in the weeks prior, we've already dealt with verses 1 and 2, and with the most part of verse number 3. But when we closed last week, we were dealing with the closing words of this particular verse. Once again, let's look at verse number 3. Here the Word of God says, "So he carried me away in the Spirit into the wilderness. I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns." Now in the weeks prior, we have dealt with this beast spoken of here in verse number 3. Here John speaks about a beast. Not only that, but he describes this beast. Now in the weeks prior, we have stated that this beast has reference to the Antichrist, that man of sin, the son of perdition, that will be revealed following the rapture of the saints of God. That's the beast that is spoken of here in verse number 3. Not only that, but we've dealt with the description of this beast. We've dealt with the word scarlet here in verse number 3. We've dealt with the expression full of names of blasphemy found in this particular verse. And then last week we begin dealing with this expression or the closing words, this beast having seven heads and 10 horns. Now the seven heads, if you will look in verse number 9 of this same chapter, the Word of God tells us what these seven heads have reference to. Then in verse 9 the Word of God says, "And here is the mind which hath wisdom." The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now, my friend, here the Word of God tells us that these seven heads in verse number 3 are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Last week, I dealt with the fact that the location that is referred to, the place that is referred to here in verse number 9, is none other than Rome. Rome, even today, you can hear from time to time, Rome referred to as the city which sits upon seven peaks, which rules the world. Down through the years, Rome has consistently been referred to in this way, the city or the city that sits on seven peaks, which rules the world. Rome has been presented through the years in miniature in this fashion. She's been presented on columns in this fashion.
So we find that the seven heads tell us that this involves Rome. Now I want you to notice in verse number 3 also, 10 horns is spoken of. In verse number 12, the Word of God says, and the 10 horns which thou hast are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. The seven heads here in verse number 3 involve Rome. The 10 horns here involve 10 kings. So here's what we have. We have the Antichrist here in verse number 3 involved with Rome, and we find the 10 kings involved with Rome. Now, last week I stated that we can make a summarizing statement as to what is set forth here in verse number 3. And later on, I'm going to do that. But I want to deal with this further in detail. And to do so, I had you to turn to Daniel chapter number 2. Now, I want you to turn back there at this time. Daniel chapter number 2. If you'll do that, please. Daniel chapter number 2. Here in Daniel chapter number 2, we find a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. And he was the king of Babylon. And we find that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. This dream troubled him. And in verse number 31, the Word of God tells us that in this dream, Nebuchadnezzar saw a great image. In verses 32 and 33, which we dealt with last week, this image is described. And we found that there are four metals found concerning this image. The first metal is gold. The second metal is silver. The third metal is brass. And then the fourth metal in verse number 33, it says his legs are long. We find that this image here consisting of four metals. That's the reason that this image has been referred to by certain preachers as Daniel's metallic man. Four metals. Now you'll notice in verses 36 through 35 that Daniel gives to Nebuchadnezzar the interpretation of this dream. He tells him what it meant. In verse 36, the Word of God says, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Now you'll notice in verse number 38, the closing words of verse 38, Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, he says, thou art this head of gold. Now my friend, these four metals mentioned here in verses 32 through 33, each one of these has reference to a kingdom. Each one of these has reference to an empire, a Gentile world empire, a Gentile world power. You'll notice in verse number 39, the Word of God says, and after thee shall arise another king. This is the second kingdom presented to us here in this chapter. The kingdom that followed the Babylonian empire was the Medo-Persian empire. And we find that the Medo-Persian empire, here in verse 32, is represented by the silver. Here the Word of God says, his breast and his arms of silver. Of silver. Look at verse number 39 again. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass. Verse number 39 makes it very clear that these metals are referring to kingdoms. Here in verse 39, the Word of God says, and another third kingdom of brass. The third kingdom here, spoken of in this passage, has reference to the Grecian Empire. The Grecian Empire followed the Medo-Persian Empire. And we find that the Grecian Empire is represented here by the brass. By the brass. Now notice verse 40. The Word of God says, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as armed. The fourth kingdom here is represented by armed. Now, what kingdom followed the Grecian Empire? I'll tell you, it was the Roman Empire. If you've ever read anything about history, you know that following the Grecian Empire was the Roman Empire. And the fourth kingdom referred to here has reference to the Roman Empire. And we find that it's represented by Orn here in this passage. Rome has always been known for crushing all opposition and resistance with an iron heel. Rome has always been known very well for its iron rule. So we find here that the fourth empire is represented here by iron, and it has reference to the Roman Empire. Now I might say this as well. I said it last week and I'll say it again. What is set before us here is a view of Gentile world dominion. What is set before us here is a view of the times of the Gentiles. You say, preacher, what does the times of the Gentiles have reference to? In Luke chapter 21 and in verse number 24, the Lord Jesus spoke about the times of the Gentiles. And if you read that passage of Scripture, you'll find that the Lord Jesus makes it very clear that the times of the Gentiles has to do with that period of time in which Jerusalem is under Gentile authority. The times of the Gentiles began with Nebuchadnezzar and his rule over Babylon in 606 B.C., It was at that time that Nebuchadnezzar overthrew Jerusalem. And Nebuchadnezzar, as king over Babylon, was the first great Gentile power. That's what Daniel chapter 2 is telling us. And Daniel chapter 2 is telling us that during the times of the Gentiles, there are going to be four Gentile world empires. Or in other words, there's going to be four Gentile world kingdoms, or four Gentile powers. That's what Daniel chapter 2 is telling us. Now, I want you to notice, before we move on to another chapter, verses 41 and 42. I must say this before we read these verses as well. You know, modernists and liberals today would have you to believe that everything is getting better. But if you believe that everything is getting better, you've got to be as blind as a bat. And here the Word of God tells us, this image gives to us a view of the times of the Gentiles. And if we look at the image carefully, this image tells us that things are not going to get better. Silver is of less value than gold. Brass is of less value than silver. Iron is of less value than brass. And we could go on. We could go on. Here the Word of God is telling us that as the times of the Gentiles runs its course, there's going to be deterioration and there's going to be decay. Decay. I must say this as well. Have you ever realized the fact that this image is top-heavy? This image is top-heavy. The specific gravity of gold is greater than silver. The specific gravity of silver is greater than brass. The specific gravity of brass is greater than iron. The specific gravity of iron is greater than clay. This image here is top-heavy. My friend, there's something that is top-heavy. Can certainly not stand forever. This image here has a weak foundation. This image here has a weak foundation. And certainly it cannot stand forever. Now I want you to notice in verses 41 and 42, the Word of God says, "And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron." Look at verse 42. "And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay." Daniel is very clear to mention here the toes that was on this image. Now I'll show you in just a few moments how many toes this image had on it. With what we've said in mind, let's turn for a moment to Daniel chapter number 7. Daniel chapter number 7. I want to read Daniel chapter 7 verses 1 through 3. Here the Word of God says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. Now look at verse number 3. And the four great beasts, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Now here in Daniel chapter 7, and in verses 4 through 7, we have four great beasts. Now I want you to follow me. In Daniel chapter 2, we had four metals. Each one of these metals represented a Gentile world empire, or a Gentile world power, or kingdom. Now here, when we come to Daniel chapter number 7, we find not four metals, but we find four great beasts. And my friend, these four metals in Daniel 2 corresponds and parallels with these four beasts in Daniel 7. They correspond to each other. There's a parallel here. Certainly there is. These four beasts that's spoken of here in verses 4 through 7 have reference to four Gentile world empires or kingdoms. Look at your Bible in verse 17. Daniel 7, verse 17. Here the Word of God says, these great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. These four beasts here, in verses 4 through 7, have reference to four kings along with our kingdoms. The first metal in Daniel chapter 2 corresponds to the first beast here in verse 4. Look at verse number 4. The first was like a lion. Now the Babylonian Empire in Daniel chapter 2 was represented by gold, the most precious of metals. Here we find the Babylonian Empire represented as a lion, the king of beasts. Here it says, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. And it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. This has reference to Nebuchadnezzar as the king of Babylon, the Babylonian Empire. And in connection with verse number 4, you should turn back and read sometime Daniel chapter number 4 and the experience that Nebuchadnezzar had. Nebuchadnezzar, according to the Word of God, was driven from men. His dwelling was with the beast. He ate grass like the oxen. The Word of God tells us that his hair grew like the feathers of eagles. And his nails, his claws. That goes along here with what we find in verse number 4. Now look at verse number 5. In Daniel chapter number 2, the second kingdom was represented by silver. It was the Medo-Persian Empire. Here it's represented as a bear. Notice verse 5. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side. Let me say this. The Medo-Persian Empire was a dual empire. It was made up of two, the Medes and the Persians. The Medo-Persian Empire. And my friend, the Persians were stronger and more dominant than the Medes were. And that's what this has reference to here in verse 5 when it says that this bear, it raised up itself on one side. The rest of the verse says, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Look at verse number 6. The third impar in Daniel chapter number 2, which was the Grecian impar, was represented by brass. Here it's represented as a leopard. Here verse 6, the word of God says, after this, I beheld, and lo and behold, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. Alexander the Great was the head of the Grecian Empire. When he died, the Grecian Empire was divided into four sections. Four generals of Alexander the Great, each of them ruled over one of the four sections of the Grecian Empire. That's what verse 6 is having reference to. Now I want you to notice verse number 7. Here the word of God says, after this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast. And let me say this right here. We should not think this strange when the Lord uses beast to refer to Gentile world powers and empires. I was thinking about that the other day. You know, today we talk about the British lion. We talk about the Russian bear. We talk about the American eagle. We talk about the Chinese dragon. So it's not strange here when the Lord refers and represents a kingdom by a beast.
Right.
Here in verse number 7, the Word of God says, after this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it has great armed teeth. The fourth kingdom represented in Daniel chapter number 2, it was represented by Arn. And it has reference to the Roman Empire. And here we find Arn mentioned in connection with this fourth beast. Here the Word of God says, and it had great armed teeth. This fourth beast here represents the Roman Empire. Now listen, Daniel chapters 2 and 7 is telling us that during the times of the Gentiles, there are going to be four Gentile world empires. He's telling us first that there's going to be the Babylonian Empire. He's telling us second that there's going to be the Medo-Persian Empire. He's telling us third that there's going to follow the Grecian Empire. And then the Word of God is telling us that there's going to follow the Roman Empire. Now listen to me. Here the Word of God is telling us that during the times of the Gentiles, there's only going to be four Gentile world powers. The next kingdom that's going to be set up is going to be that stone kingdom, which is having reference to the Lord Jesus coming back in the Revelation at the end of the tribulation and setting up the millennium. That's the fifth kingdom spoken of here in Daniel chapters 2 and chapter 7. But he's telling us there's only going to be four Gentile world powers. There's already been four. The Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Grecian, and the Roman. There's already been four. And since there isn't going to be any more, according to the Word of God, that tells me that Russia is never going to be a world empire. Russia will never be a world empire. For you see, my friend, Daniel chapters 2 and 7 tells me that there's only going to be four Gentile world empires from the reign of Nebuchadnezzar down to the time that Jesus comes back and sets up the millennial kingdom. There's only going to be four. And since there's already been four, that tells me that Russia, and certainly she would like to rule this world. But the Word of God makes it clear that Russia will never be a world empire because there's already been four. Now I want you to look at verse number 7 again. Here verse 7 says, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, having reference to the Roman Empire now, remember, And after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And he had great orange tree, and it devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was devoured from all the beasts that were before it. Now I want you to note very carefully the closing words of verse number 7. Here the Word of God says, and it had 10 horns. You know how many toes that image had in Daniel chapter number 2? He had 2 legs, he had 2 feet, and he had 10 toes. Those 10 toes correspond, those 10 toes correspond to the 10 horns. That's mentioned here on this fourth beast in Daniel chapter number 7. Now listen, these 10 horns are the same that's spoken of in Revelation chapter 17 and verse number 3. Remember, the beast in Revelation 17 has 7 heads and 10 horns. This is the same 10 horns spoken of here in verse number 7. What are these horns? Look at your Bible in verse 24. In verse 24, the Word of God says this, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings. Same thing Revelation 17 tells us. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. Now listen. Daniel 2 and Daniel 7 tells us that during the times of the Gentiles, there's only going to be 4 Gentile world empires. There's already been 4. Therefore, we know that the last form of Gentile world power, the last form of Gentile world power that will be ruling when Jesus comes back to this earth in the Revelation, is going to be a redevelopment of this fourth empire. That's why you hear men today that no word of God will get up and speak about the revived Roman Empire. Life in the Roman Empire, according to the Word of God, is going to be revived. And the last form of Gentile world power operating when Jesus comes will be a redevelopment of this fourth empire, that being the Roman Empire. And my friend, the revived Roman Empire is going to consist and be made up of 10 confederated kings. Here in verse 7, the Word of God says, and it had 10 horns. Where are these horns? These 10 horns are on this fourth beast, the Roman Empire. Look at verse 24 again. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings. Where does these 10 kings come from? Out of this kingdom, the Roman Empire. The last form of Gentile world power ruling when Jesus comes will be a redevelopment of this fourth empire, the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire is going to be revived, and it's going to consist and be made up of 10 confederated nations. 10 confederated nations. Now that's what's spoken of in Revelation chapter 17 and in verse number 3. In Revelation chapter 17 and verse number 3, we find the Antichrist. And we find this beast having 7 heads. This involves Rome, 7 heads. And we find that this beast has 10 horns, or 10 kings. My friend, this is the Antichrist ruling over the revived Roman Empire. Here in verse number 3 is set before us the Antichrist ruling over the revived Roman Empire. That's what is set before us here in Revelation chapter 17 and in verse number 3. Here we have the Antichrist who will rule over the revived Roman Empire, which will consist and be made up of 10 confederated nations. And let me tell you this, according to Daniel 7, I just read it a few moments ago. These 10 nations that will make up the revived Roman Empire are all found. They will all be found within the boundaries of the old Roman Empire. And my friend, there are various nations on the scene today, that are found within the boundaries of the old Roman Empire. And since they're split, there's never been any effort to unite and get together. That is until World War II and Winston Churchill. And ever since World War II and Winston Churchill, there's been talk of getting together. There's been certain nations that have been moving closer and closer and closer together. As a matter of fact, that's why we have the common market found in Europe today. What we have here is the Antichrist ruling over the revived Roman Empire, which will consist of 10 confederated nations. Thank you for listening carefully. I'd like to have each head.